Hysteria is brought to you by Article. Article makes it effortless to create a stylish, long-lasting home at an unbeatable price. Article offers a curated range of mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi-inspired pieces that not only shine on their own, but also pair seamlessly with nearly any other Article product. This thoughtful design approach makes it incredibly easy to mix and match, helping you create a space that feels cohesive and stylish. Also, Article takes great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. For me, I have this ottoman. It is so cozy. It looks beautiful in our house. It's like, it looks almost like it's got big, thick thread, big like weaving. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's beautiful. And I love it. My husband loves it. The cats love it. And the cats can't ruin it either. It is literally the perfect piece in our house. We always get compliments when people come over. When we received it, the packaging was meticulous. The weight and feel of the product is wonderful. And, you know, there was like very, very little assembly required. So Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada with options for professional assembly if you prefer hands-on experience, which I have also done and is excellent. Have a question or need help with your design choices? Article's customer care team is available 7 days a week, offering knowledgeable support and even free interior design services to help you get your home just right. With Article's 30-day satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that if you're not completely in love with your new furniture, you can easily return it. This piece of mine ensures you can invest in your home without hesitation. Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
And I'm Erin Haynes.
Erin, thanks for joining me for another week of guest hosting.
You know, I couldn't stay away. Thanks for having me back.
You can't stay away because you know what it is? It's almost Pisces season.
Listen, Pisces loading. Welcome, Pisces Hive. Yes.
We're Pisces. You're Pisces.
Yes. We are congenital Pisces at that. We really are.
I really feel like we're sisters from another mister.
That's not confirmed, but it's also not unconfirmed. So,
right? What are you looking forward to?
Okay, so let me just make this plug for, you know, anybody who has a birthday that's listening out there. Birthdays are my all-time favorite thing. Like, they are my favorite holiday, whatever, because you know why?
Why?
I mean, you may never get married. You may never have a baby. But, like, your birthday.
I didn't have a baby.
Shout out to you. Same here, Rich Auntie Gang. But if the thing about your birthday is that you can literally do whatever you want. And you can tell other people to do whatever you want. And they have to do it. Like, that is the magic of birthdays. So,
do you know what? My birthday's in a couple weeks.
Yes.
And I am, you know what I decided, Erin, last year?
What?
I don't want parties, but I do want cake. And so last year, I went to the fanciest bakery I could find, and I had one of those, like, retro 1950s, like, hot pink cake with the buttercream roses. And you know what? It was delicious.
I love
but
that.
This year, I'm going to ShopRite, and I'm getting a Black Forest cake because that's what I love.
Listen.
That's what I love. I'm a vintage German, and I want a Black Forest cake.
I love that for you. You know, my mom used to make my birthday cakes when I was growing up, which I loved very much, and I was very sad when she was like, nope, I'm retired. Go get a sheet cake. But she will still occasionally bake me a cake, so I'm hoping that happens for me this year. But I definitely am a party person. I actually have Erin Week, as some people who know me who may be listening to this know.
So does my mother.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's absolutely
But you know what
thing.
The problem is for me?
Mm-mm.
My mom's birthday is the day before mine.
She can be part of Alyssa Week. I mean, she's part of it.
No, Alyssa's part of Lydia Week.
Well...
Okay, today, Erin and I dissect whether Trump is really protecting women, whether we like it or not. Spoiler, no. Yet again, Nancy Mace is not okay, and can Trump alone dismantle the Department of Education? In lighter news, we talk about another Martha Stewart comeback, and for Sani Petty, we get into whether, in this year of our Lord 2025, we needed Bridget Jones to be a widow. Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast successfully influenced to buy bootcut jeans.
Wait, hang on. Were we? I'm out of here. No way. Okay. No
way. I'm just
way.
Making sure. People much younger than us wrote that. Because if I wore bootcut jeans,
no,
you would be like, Alyssa, I don't even know what people would say. The problem is I'm so short that the bootcut starts way above my knee.
Yeah, and you would have been one of those people that had the soggy bootcut.
Oh, the 4 inches of dankness, jean dankness.
We're not going back.
We're not going back. You're sticking with what, skinny?
Definitely. I'm a skinny jean gal and will be so. I don't care what the rest of you do. Bootcut is I'm that era has passed me by and I don't want it coming back.
Gratefully. All right. Well, good. Okay. So we're not going to do that. Aaron, what did Donald Trump say when he was campaigning again? He was like,
I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them.
I'm the father of IVF, and yes. I'm going to protect all the women, whether they want me to or not.
Yeah.
Right? That was his whole shtick going into Election Day.
Less than a week before the election, he's in Green Bay at this rally, and he's saying, my campaign, they don't want me to say this. They say this is inappropriate for me to say, but I'm saying it anyway. I'm going to protect women whether they like it or not.
Right.
That was his pledge to the women of America. Right before the election.
Right. So here we are in 2025, and Republicans have used the phrase protect women as a dog whistle to justify some of their most despicable actions, while in reality, the U.S. is becoming less and less safe for women every single day. In this segment, we're going to call out the protecting women BS and give some pointers for maybe how conservatives actually could give women a hand. You ready, Aaron?
I'm ready.
All right, so we're starting off with some news out of the military, the gift that keeps giving. The far-reaching consequences of Trump's executive order on DEI are starting to kick in, including some military branches halting their sexual assault prevention and reporting training. The LA Times confirmed these changes in the Navy and Marine Corps, while the other branches are still unknown. There's no timeline for when these programs may be reinstated or whether they'll be gone for good. An anonymous military official said to the LA Times, when you put a guy who's accused of sexually harassing and sexually assaulting people in charge of the DOD, he's probably going to have opinions about these kinds of policies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was certainly the concern that was raised among some people, some Democrats. I think, Senator Joni Ernst, at one point before she went along with his confirmation, these were some of the concerns. Like, how would Pete Hegseth's background, right? How would those allegations that he was facing, how would that affect how he may implement policy, right? His comments on the woke agenda and getting the woke agenda out of the military. Part of that woke agenda was, did have to do with gender. We knew that. We had heard his comments on, women even participating in the military, right? And so now you have, coupled with President Trump's executive order to get government overreach of, in terms of race and gender out of our federal government, you're now seeing the military kind of taking that and running with it.
So it's funny. You mentioned Joni Ernst. Hegseth couldn't have gotten confirmed without Ernst.
Right.
Right. McConnell was voting against him. Murkowski and Collins voted against him. She had leverage. What the fuck? She had leverage. She met with him so many times. She is a sexual assault survivor in college and a domestic abuse survivor in her marriage. And I want to quote something that she said to People magazine in 2020 when her book came out. She said, quote, I struggled reading through some of the passages where I broke down. And they'd say, just take your time, Joni. Just make sure you get it right. We have time, the Iowa senator says of the Daughter of the Heartland published last week. Mm. I would have to go back multiple times and reread so that I could get through it. And it was very hard to do, to read that entire story from front cover to back cover and relive it. It became more real to me. Aaron, she could have gone to Hegseth and bartered her vote. She could have been like, you know what? I'll vote for you. But you got to keep the sexual. I've been working on the sexual assault stuff with Senator Gillibrand for years. And this is the price of doing business. Yeah. You have to keep this. And it just seems as if none of that, like she had actual leverage. She had an opportunity and she did nothing to protect the women in the military.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people were looking to Senator Ernst just because of exactly what you said. I mean, yes, she had leverage, but she also had that lived experience, right?
I mean,
somebody who had served in the military, somebody who had been a victim of sexual assault and was very and is somebody who has been a champion for women in the military and trying to protect them from sexual assault. So, you know, if anybody was going to have anything to say about this, people were looking to Joni Ernst to do that. And yet, you know, she, you know, at the end of the day ends up confirming Pete Hegseth. You do have to wonder kind of where she is now seeing some of these actions now taking place under the new Secretary of Defense and what she plans to do to continue to push for protections.
Now that she has zero fucking leverage. It's so depressing. And you know what? You know what the killer is, Aaron? You and I both know something that we're going to have to scream from the mountaintops in 2026 and 2027 and 2028. And that is that when you remove the mechanism by which people can report sexual assault, whereby people understand what sexual assault is, you know what's going to happen to the sexual assault numbers in the military?
Mysteriously, they will go down?
It's going to be incredible to watch how under control sexual assault is in the next couple of years, because without question, the numbers will go down. And whether or not the top brass of the branches of service are a part of this, no one's going to be upset if their numbers are going down, even if it's utter bullshit.
And not only that, I mean, understanding that that does not necessarily mean, and in fact, likely does not mean that women are being more protected as a result of these policies, right?
It means they have nowhere to go. They have no one to talk to, and there is no mechanism to report what's happening to them. Yeah. Okay. So there's that. And then in another hit last Friday, the Federal Office of Violence Against Women removed all information involving current funding opportunities. There were previously 10 grants open for application listed on the website, but now there are zero. The Office of Violence Against Women is a key funder for programs for survivors of gender-based and domestic violence all around the country. And if that isn't protecting women, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, you had the Violence Against Women Act coming up in the last administration being, you know, kind of shored up and yet here in the early days of this administration, you have this action being taken. We wrote about this in the 19th just last week.
Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, just removing from the website all information on these current funding opportunities. Nonprofits are fearful that you know, about how they will still be able to help victims of gender-based violence. They're wondering if, you know, this major funding source that they had is going to dry up. They don't know if this pause is going to be temporary. Where are women supposed to go to get information about, you know, women's health care? The CDC took parts of its website down for several days, you know, because they were trying to be in compliance with President Trump's executive orders. So, you know, all of this is just creating so much uncertainty for women and frankly, for the groups that are actively trying to keep women safe. These orders, it's really unclear whether they are actually going to protect women. But I think what is clear hearing from these advocates is that, you know, there are women that are feeling unsafe as a result of these orders. There are certainly folks in the transgender community that are feeling less safe as a result of these orders. And so, you know, they're wondering how these actions are translating into the protection of women right now.
Right. I mean, this was his whole shtick, right? And if he's going to say, he's made promises, right? We believe them. We believe he wants to deport people. But maybe we believed he was going to protect women. And I think that it is, I mean, no, none of us actually did, but he said it. The thing to me for all of this is that we're still in what, like week three?
Yeah.
Week four of this administration? And his number one again, campaign, the price of eggs, the price of food. We're going to make it so we're going to protect everybody. We're going to get everything back on track. Aaron, according to USA Today, in yesterday's issue, Trader Joe's and other retailers are rationing the number of eggs people can buy right now due to shortage.
Yeah.
The chickens are not okay.
The chickens are not okay, right? And P.S., like, protecting women, protecting all of us. I question, are eggs even safe to eat right now? I don't know. I mean, seems like that's the kind of thing that I might hear from the White House press podium or maybe some guidance that I could get from an FDA or a CDC. But, like, who knows? Who knows if, it, you know, where we're supposed to go to get that kind of information right now? I mean, forget the price of eggs. The safety of eggs also at issue. But, like, also, women were among the voters who said that the economy was their number one issue, right? Like that their pocketbook was their number one issue. So, you know, I wonder in this moment, while the president is talking about or pledging to protect women, if he is listening to women, if he is talking to women about what it is that they want, about what they say that their priorities are, right? As he is governing, like are women some of the folks that are helping to shape how he is thinking about his second term.
Susie Wiles standing next to him looking aghast all the time doesn't seem to be helping. Like, I don't think she's calibrating the things that are coming up. The other thing that's just so wild to me, as someone who did, and they're a little different. This is their second time in the White House. But as someone who remembers her first months in the White House vividly, you're just trying to get shit done and make sure nothing falls apart. The fact that they knew the Office of Violence Against Women existed and knew how to get in there and defund it is like such a level of malice and premeditation that it's hard. I don't know, Aaron. It's getting a little hard for me to think that protecting women is a priority.
Well, I mean, also, you had, in his first days in office, President Biden establishing the Office of Gender Equity. That was gone within the first days of this administration, right? That was an office that saw themselves as protecting women. That office now no longer exists.
And you know, it also is just something that I had read is that in their mad dash to eliminate all their buzzwords, one of which is like women.
Sure.
They erased a woman who works at NASA was actually erased from the website because she is a woman in STEM. And they were trying to get rid of the DEI in STEM. And so she had to be gone too because she's a woman.
Yeah.
But, like, we're not saying this to be depressing. We just want to hold the man accountable. He said he was going to protect us, right? Yeah. Said he was going
to
protect us.
Just trying to understand how this translates into safety.
Oh, well, speaking of safety, you know what's not safe? The floor of the House of Representatives this week. What fucking chaos. Nancy Mace strikes once again. On Monday, Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace took the House floor for an hour to accuse her ex-fiancé and three other men of sexual assault. In her speech, she repeatedly called out the state for not protecting women and girls who are victims of sexual violence. Ironic coming from someone who just 2 months ago endorsed Matt Gaetz for Attorney General and who constantly antagonizes trans women for merely existing. We agree, Nancy. The state should be protecting women and girls, which is why the OVW should keep its funding and DEI practices should remain in place. Aaron, did you watch this nonsense on the floor?
I did see it. I mean, it certainly was unexpected. Did not have this on the bingo card. It certainly was unexpected, and it was a remarkable moment that was happening on the House floor. So, I think a lot of people were kind of confused about where this came from or why she was doing this. I mean, obviously, we know that Nancy Mace is somebody that's considering a bid for governor, and was using this moment to call out her would be Republican rival in that South Carolina governor's race. So, not sure kind of what the motivation timing was for this exactly, but it was there are a lot of kind of oh, wow, moments that are happening right now in our politics. And I think that that was absolutely one of them. I will also say, I mean, something else that really struck me about this, you know, she had, you know, said during her floor speech, you know, she was saying that she was opening up this hotline for folks mm-hmm. to call mm-hmm. in survivors. There was no hotline. Right? I mean, this thing goes to, what, voicemail? Or there's nobody on the other end to mm-hmm. help these women. So, right. Which makes this even more kind of bizarre and, like, makes you really wonder kind of more what this was all about. Like, is this about kind of being in solidarity with survivors of sexual assault or sharing your story in the hopes that other people will come forward with their stories and getting help
for
them?
Well, and this is the thing, Erin. We can't let the Republican Party, MAGA, we can't let them have it both ways. Mm-hmm. You don't get to vote, you know, Nancy Mace obviously is in the House and didn't vote to confirm Pete Hegseth. But you cannot have Nancy Mace take to the floor in her white suffragette outfit. Mm-hmm. Also, Tulsi Gabbard, always in white, confirmed today. Yes. God help us. But you don't get to go to the floor and say, we need these protections for women, while over at the Department of Defense, it's just being obliterated. It's being raked out of the DOD. So, like, but she, it's the shadiest of shit, right? Because at first, look, we're good feminists, I guess, right? So at first you watch this story and you're like, well, I mean, I don't know if it happened, but we're, you know, we say believe women. So I'm not, am I thinking she's lying about assault? And I don't know. But, you know, at the same time, I'm like, how does someone give this speech on the floor of the House? Like, that seems crazy. Though I did do a little digging because I'm like, this can't be okay. Like, how is this? No, it her speech on the Senate floor was protected by the speech and debate clause. Which means, though, that it has to be tethered to legislation, which apparently is what she was talking about. She did this whole windup outing her ex-fiancé, who's currently under investigation.
Wait, what legislation was it tethered to?
I didn't catch that part, but apparently there's some coming. She was talking about how she's going to do legislation to protect women, but she outed her ex-fiancé, who came forward and was like, I will cooperate with any and all investigation. I have no idea what she's talking about. And then there were three other men that she outed as well, who were all like, yo, I don't know what she's talking about. Now, I know that that is a common response when accused of something, but it just feels like interesting.
Yeah.
And the fact I also read that she consulted with a lawyer to make sure that she could say this, because you know what's an interesting full circle of all this, is that she gets on the House floor, outs these four people who, near as I can tell, have not been arrested, have been accused right. by her, but, you know. And recall that at ABC News, it was her interview with George Stephanopoulos, where she was kind of baiting George because he asked her a simple question. You're here talking about sexual assault. How can you support and endorse a sexual predator, right? And there is, you know, of course, nuance around the fact that George said he was accused of rape when it was sexual assault,
right.
though even the Washington Post said it was the same. But I just think it's funny because she really lawyered up. Like, she made sure she could do all this because she saw what happened, what she provoked the last time. Because my first thing was like, how could she not be sued for this? Right? Yeah. But speech and debate clause somehow tethered to some legislation that she is introducing.
Well, we'll stay tuned to see what that is.
Yup. And then, here we go. More protecting women. More, they can't stop, Erin. They're protecting women so much this week.
Yeah.
So much this week. Protecting women has been the battle cry for efforts to take away the rights of transgender people and treat them as subhuman in category. Last week, Trump signed an executive order banning transgender women from competing in sports in the name of preserving women's sports for women.
Yeah.
This order aims to reverse the order that Biden made, which protected trans athletes under Title IX. While this only applies to programs getting federal funding, Carolyn Leavitt announced that they also plan to apply pressure to the NCAA and Olympic Committee. Erin, just a reminder, can't say it enough times, NCAA has said of the 500,000 athletes, fewer than 10 are trans. I would imagine the numbers among the Olympic teams is the same.
Yeah.
I just, Jesus Christ, there are bigger fish to fry. It's enough.
No, I mean, this continues to be a solution in search of a problem, right? We know that this is not some crisis in, you know, women's sports, that this is not preventing women from fairly and safely participating in sports, and yet this has somehow become a signature issue. Is this what we meant by bacon and eggs? I don't know. But, I mean, clearly that is where we are. That is what they are focusing on. And the latest, I believe, is that now transgender athletes who have participated in college athletics, like whatever wins or records that they have set, all that needs to be scrubbed. Mm-hmm. To restore, you know, the rightful, I guess, winners of those competitions. Again, solution in search of a problem, folks. This is not a thing. But, you know, I Laverne Cox, I saw, you know, that powerful mm-hmm. speech that she gave, and, you know, just what she had to say responding to really the targeting, the ongoing targeting, and now really, you know, at the highest levels of office of transgender Americans. And, mm-hmm. and, you know, what I thought was really smart of her to point out was, you know, she basically says that the wrong 1% is right. being targeted in this country, right? I mean, basically alluding to the fact that transgender Americans make up such a small percentage of people in this country, and yet you would think that they were, you know, a scourge on our democracy or something, when really they are just asking to be treated with the same basic humanity and dignity mm-hmm. as anybody else in our country. And so, you know, meanwhile, you've got a broligarchy, you know, fully entrenched in our politics and toxic masculinity, really, you know, ruling the day mm-hmm. out of the White House. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think that this matters, and it matters that such a small group of Americans is being targeted. I mean, I encourage folks who are listening to read Adam Serwer out of The Atlantic pointed this out so well when he talked about going after small groups that seemingly, you know, nobody cares about or that, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't know a transgender person in your life these are people that we can other. These are people we could say, oh, well, you know, what does this really matter? It's not really that many people anyway. No, it does matter, because if you can take out the smaller groups of people that seemingly nobody cares about or nobody is willing to fight on their behalf because they don't have shared experiences, shared identities, then everybody is at risk.
Everybody is at risk. And on that note, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hysteria is brought to you by Honeylove. I love Honeylove. Let me tell you why. Because up until I met Honeylove, I hated underwear. I just hated it. Sometimes I didn't wear it because it irritated me in every possible way. I don't need to feel bad during the day when I think about my underwear. It would pinch me. It would leave marks. One actually left a tiny little bruise because it was too small, even though I bought it in a size that theoretically was two sizes too big. But ever since I have tried Honeylove, everything is just smooth and silky and comfortable. I don't feel like I have it on. I even accidentally went to bed once in Honeylove. That has never happened with any of my other underwear. Honeylove is an independent, female-founded brand, and all Honeylove products are intelligently designed by women who actually wear them, including founder Betsy, who is highly involved in the development of each product. Honeylove recently launched the CrossFlex bra, which I own, designed to support you all day in and out of your workout routine. Wear it during your workday and at your workout. Honeylove bras are supportive and wire-free thanks to bonding technology that lifts without underwire. You deserve a bra that's lightweight and comfortable without sacrificing support. A great bra is the foundation for any outfit. Start every outfit with Honeylove and elevate your style. Honeylove shapewear is designed to move with you. Say goodbye to pesky shapewear that rolls down as soon as you hit the dance floor. Wanda Sykes actually does a great stand-up routine about this. She calls her stomach Esther, because my Esther, when she gets mad or has a little bit of dinner in shapewear that's not Honeylove, things just start to roll down. And then you have the telltale roll down around your waist where everybody knows that your shapewear has rolled down. Not so with Honeylove. Honeylove shapewear is just as easy to get on as it is to take off and was made with a convenient opening in the panty area for super easy bathroom trips. No costume change required. Honeylove products feature lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off and high-quality fabrics that feel like a dream against skin. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market. Save 20% off Honeylove at honeylove.com/hysteria. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off at honeylove.com/hysteria to find your perfect fit. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Elevate your comfort, elevate your style with Honeylove.
Hey, it's Tommy from Pod Save America and Pod Save the World. Last year, 2,500 people joined us at CrookedCon for conversations with some of the smartest organizers, least annoying politicians, and most interesting voices in politics to talk about how to fix this mess. Even President Obama made a surprise appearance. We're doing it all again November 5th to 7th in Washington, D.C., with even more podcasts, panels, and workshops. Plus, there'll be drinks, which we'll need after the midterms, no matter which way they go. Get tickets at CrookedCon.com. If you're a friend of the pod, you get a discount too. See you there.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that is proudly a product of our nation's public education system. You went to public high school, right?
Shout out to Creekside High School in Fairburn, Georgia. Yes, indeed, I did.
Rhinebeck High School, class of 94.
Holler.
Holler. All right, here we go. It's education time because we can't get enough. Since the education department was established in 1979, conservatives have been trying to take it down. I don't know what their beef is, but they're like, Jimmy Carter did a thing and now let's undo a thing.
Yeah.
Will Trump be the one to finally do it? Is he going to take down the Department of Ed? Well, good news-ish. A president cannot shutter an entire department with the wave of a Sharpie.
Wait, really? But
he can't.
Huh. What about getting rid of Black History Month wholesale? Can he do that?
No.
Oh, okay.
He can't get rid of. He could say that in the government you can't have a group potluck to celebrate Black History Month,
okay,
as is in the government a way of celebrating many of the history months, but he cannot. He cannot take it away, Aaron.
Good to know.
Because you know what? We'll just keep celebrating it, and by we, I do mean me.
Correct. Same. Okay. So what can he do then?
Well, he can make it hard. He can start shutting down the spigot as they used to. I don't know. Did you watch Succession?
Oh, yes.
Okay. My favorite, because it's true now. So much of what happened in Succession is happening right now. But do you remember the episode where they're in Italy for the wedding and Shiv says Tom has to go do an interview with a magazine. She goes, you going to go turn on the old bigot spigot? Because that's just what they did. They walked in, they turned on the bigot spigot. Mm. So Trump, he can make it hard. He can stop. He can slow down money. He can do, look, it's everything he's doing now. He knows it's all going to be challenged in court, right? He tried to stop the funding. It gets challenged in court. Chaos ensues. Nobody knows what they can do.
Right. So they don't do anything. Right.
So they don't do anything. And even people like you and I have to spend time Googling to be like, wait, what really just happened?
Yeah.
You know, and like, Aaron, I like literally worked in the Senate and I still have to be like, wait, because these questions have never really come up before.
Right. Things, you know, things being challenged that were not previously challenged. And it's like, well, let's find out. Well, we're in the finding out stage.
We're in the finding out stage. So based on his presidential campaign, we know Trump had an idea for education in America. It included incorporating prayer into classrooms, expanding school choice, and increasing the influence of parents and the local school board on public schools. The Department of Ed has a $268 million budget and is responsible for administering.
No, billion. B.
Billion. Oh, my God. What'd I say?
With a B.
It's responsible for administering student loans, for running programs for low-income students like Title I and IDEA, and enforcing civil rights laws that prevent discrimination in public schools. The agency is the smallest out of all cabinet-level departments with only 4,400 employees. Okay. So, yesterday, Tuesday, the Doge, I can't believe we're being forced to say the word Doge.
Sure.
The Doge X account announced that the Department of Education terminated 29 DEI training grants totaling $101 million and terminated 89 contracts worth $881 million. According to the New York Times, the majority of contracts hit were for the Institute of Education Sciences portfolio, including education innovation and research grants. Many projects that lost funding included a large-scale effort to gather and analyze data on school safety.
Seems like we need to know that.
Student performance and support for disabled youth.
Yeah, that seems like useful data.
What? I'm sorry. If you think that the only way to protect, okay, let's level set. They, MAGA, when you talk about school shootings and school safety, they're like, listen, guns are not the problem. School safety is the problem. So how they need, this is something they definitely need to be held to account for because, but again, so much happens every day, every minute of every day, that they're just like vomiting out of their, you know, out of their Doge X accounts and other things from the White House that we can't keep up. But this seems pretty, I don't know, if they think that guns aren't killing kids, which they are, and school safety is what we need to keep kids safe, and they're cutting that, Aaron, I have a question. Are they actually pro-life?
Or pro-student. I mean, I'm thinking about student performance. We just learned that like the average student in 2024 was nearly half a grade level behind where they were before the pandemic in math and reading. So seems like we might need to know, you know, how our kids are doing in terms of student performance as well. But again, I mean, to your point, what happens when they're out of the womb? You know, you're on your own. That part, I think, is certainly been clear from the time that they are born to the time that they are in school and beyond. So also, we know, you know, support for disabled youth is something that is very important and something that the Department of Education has helped to facilitate. So what does any of this look like? What is even what he would like to do, from prayer in classrooms to expanding school choice? How does that get implemented without a Department of Education?
That's the thing. How? What happens? Do they just send tweets from the Doge account administrators what they're doing?
Maybe we make up yet another government agent, quasi-government agency. I don't know. To your point, like life's coming at us pretty fast here. And so to help people kind of understand that, we did, you know, this deep dive explainer over at the 19th on, you know, just kind of addressing the question of, you know, whether Trump can eliminate the Department of Education. As we have already said, the answer is no. But that is certainly his goal. I mean, he said that he basically wants Linda McMahon, the education secretary that he has nominated, to put herself out of a job.
Yeah.
So, obviously, this is alarming to many, you know, education leaders, and should be alarming to all Americans. You talk about the Department of Education being a place that enforces civil rights of students, like that is a thing that really matters. They need a place to go when, you know, they are being discriminated against, harassed. Like, this is who is going to address that when that
happens?
They're
not going to DOJ.
Right.
So how could, if Trump actually did want to totally dissolve, we joked, we were like, he can't do it. How can he not do it?
We probably are going to see what we've been seeing in this first month of him being in office, you know, pushback in the legal arena. You know, so I guess we'll be waiting to see, you know, where that comes from, who does that, who challenges him in his attempt to do this. I don't know what, if anything, Congress is going to do on this front to push back against this, because legally, he cannot do this. Where are our co-equal branches of government, I guess, as a check and or balance to what he is doing in this area as well?
Well, right. And some Republicans tried the last time Trump was president. to eliminate the department. They tried to eliminate it the last session, actually. And 60 House Republicans were opposed to it. So I don't know if now that Trump is president, does that mean they're going to get on board? But I do feel like getting Congress to agree to shut down the Department of Education has downstream effects that they would all become very quickly aware of.
Yeah.
And it would not happen. But again, they can make it as low functioning as they can.
Yeah. And I think that is what you saw kind of in his first term, was the Department of Education that really was not particularly proactive and you know, doing very much. But yeah, you do wonder kind of where Congress is going to be on this, especially to the extent that their constituents care about what happens to the Department of Education.
What do you think the dangers of leaving educational decisions up to the local level are?
Well, I mean, two words: book bans. I think we've seen some of the consequences of what it means to, you know, when education becomes a partisan issue. Because, by the way, you have teachers and students in red states and blue states, right? Like, like education should not be a partisan issue, and yet the battlefield of the culture war has often been the classroom in our country's history.
On that note, we're going to take another break. We'll be right back. Hysteria is brought to you by Armor Colostrum. You guys know I'm always on the lookout for ways to strengthen immunity and gut health, improve my fitness and metabolism, and enhance my skin and hair radiance. Well, I recently discovered an incredible product called Armor Colostrum. As you guys know, I talk about it all the time. My gut health is not ideal. It's not great. I had been told by loads of folks that colostrum might benefit me, but I never knew which one to buy. I tried Armor, 10 out of 10. It has definitely helped me with my digestion, helped me feel better. I have more energy. I'm sure, unlike me, you all have heard about Armor Colostrum by now. It's been the best-kept secret of industry insiders for a while, but word is finally getting out, and for good reason. Armor Colostrum is everywhere these days, and when I first heard about it, I thought it was almost too good to be true. Thousands and thousands of people reporting absolutely transformational health benefits. Tens of thousands of five-star reviews and life-changing stories. Well, I can confirm this stuff delivers. It strengthens my immunity. You can optimize whole body microbiome and strengthen your immune barriers along the mouth, sinuses, lungs, gut, urinary, and reproductive tract to guard against unwelcome particles for your strongest immune health. It combats bloating and helps you feel lighter. Probiotics are touted as a gut health solution, but they only address one part of the four-part gut wall. And most products on the market are dead before they even reach your gut. Armor Colostrum naturally fortifies your entire gut wall system, optimizing your microbiome and strengthening the gut wall architecture, which guards against irritants that can trigger symptoms like bloating and constipation. Also, strengthens your gut barrier to guard against toxins, chemicals, and pollutants that can drive inflammation and slow down metabolism. Armor Colostrum helps enhance nutrient absorption, stabilize blood sugar levels, and modulate hormones like leptin that ignite your body's fat-burning capacity for your peak metabolic performance. It helps with hair growth. It enhances your skin radiance. Also, you reap strong benefits from antioxidants, whole food prebiotics, growth factors, vitamins, and regenerative peptides that have been shown in research to help reduce fine lines, enhance skin radiance, and activate collagen production, while also strengthening the skin barrier. And it harnesses the closely guarded secret of elite athletes, long prized for its unrivaled ability to take performance to its apex. Colostrum has been shown in research to help enhance nutrient absorption, promote lean muscle building, and improve endurance while fueling cellular repair regeneration for faster recovery. We've worked out a special offer for our audience. Receive 15% off your first order. Go to tryarmor.com/hysteria or enter hysteria to get 15% off your first order. That's TRYARMRA.com/hysteria.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that doesn't think the president could identify good art if it looked him in the eye. Aaron, we got some art. We got news in the arts this week.
Yes.
A little bit. Okay. So the man who would prefer to be king instead of president, Donald Trump, last Friday announced his intent to gut the board of the Kennedy Center and appoint himself as chairman. I'm sorry. Does he have not enough jobs to do?
Apparently this is now, what it means to be presidential.
His reasoning for the takeover, as you can imagine, is to rid the center of woke. Mm. He griped about woke shows, all the woke shows. And you know what it said to me? He's never seen a show. ever. And then guess what? He admitted it. He admitted he'd never been to the Kennedy Center to see a show.
Yeah. Yeah, but he needs to do something about what is happening with these shows that he's never seen.
Right. Just as a little primer for people who don't know that much about the Kennedy Center, it is in honor of President John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
So that's a weird thing to attack unto itself, but National Cultural Center, the programming is entirely privately funded. It only receives federal funding for maintenance and operation, so it does have some component of federal funding. Mostly, I just think that the reason I wanted to talk about this is because there are, like, real patrons and patriots of the arts, and the current and the chairman of the Kennedy Center for years and years at this point is David Rubenstein. David has, Aaron, funded everything and anything that matters. He has taken so much off America's fucking plate. It is unbelievable. He led the effort financially out of his own, you know, coffers to renovate and clean up and restore the Washington Monument. All the monuments, Iwo Jima, all the monuments, Aaron. He has done them all. He has, like, a copy of the card, like one of the Magna Cartas. He lends them around the world. This man cares so much about history and preserving history. He is a mensch.
Sounds pretty woke to me. I don't know. Gotta go.
He is a man who cares about preserving history. Couldn't Trump look at that as the good old days? I mean, doesn't that count for something?
It's giving woke. So, you know, obviously that is got to get Richard Grenell in there as interim executive director. But, I mean, the Kennedy Center also, again, yes, it is named for John F. Kennedy, but it has been a bipartisan
for years.
Operation for generations. And all of a sudden, you know, even the Kennedy Center now is going to be politicized. I mean, look, we know art can be political. I mean, certainly we know that. But
of course.
But, like, Republicans and Democrats alike have patronized the Kennedy Center.
Yes.
And been honored in the Kennedy Center. So, you know, that this is now yet kind of another casualty of our politics. It really is unfortunate. I know this is not a place that every American necessarily will get to go to in their lifetimes, but the Kennedy Center Honors is certainly something that, you know, Americans can watch
so
every year.
Special.
It is. It is special. And
the
and
Mark
it does
Twain
matter.
Prize for comedy.
Yeah.
Like, it is, they do programming for students in the Beltway, you know, but for me, I thought this one hit me hard because when I was growing up, every it used to be that the Kennedy Center would air every Sunday night after Christmas, mm-hmm. right? It was like either every Sunday night after Christmas or the 26th. I can't remember. But we would usually be at my Oma's house and we would get in her bed and we would watch the Kennedy Center. Mm-hmm. And they were, especially back then, this is like, you know, the 70s, 80s. This is like her people. They were the people that she grew up with and that she loved. And I always just thought it was such a special memory that when I got to the White House, it was one of the things that I really sort of engaged in and participated in. I loved going to the Kennedy Center. To anybody listening, please Google Heart, the band, Heart's tribute to Led Zeppelin at the Kennedy Center. It is among the greatest covers of all time. And if by, you know, going woke, what Donald Trump is talking about, that Heart brought out an all-black female choir to sing backup to Led Zeppelin, give it to me in my veins directly, because it is one of the most exciting performances you will ever see. I was actually on the board of the Kennedy Center. I was on the board of trustees for several years after I left the White House. And it's like such a special place. And it's also just hard to think that he didn't get this idea, because Caroline Kennedy decided to try to stick the shank in her cousin for HHS secretary. Do you think, Aaron, is it possible he's that petty?
Anything is possible right now, Alyssa. So would not, I mean, we know that, I mean, he talks about retribution and revenge a lot. So perhaps this is part of the retribution tour. Yeah, I mean, look, the thing about the Kennedy Center is, yes, for some people who may be thinking, oh, you know, this is just some elite conversation. No, like the Kennedy Center is a thing that is part of Americana, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that is also part of the motivation for the president to try to take this over. I mean, as he is trying to take over so much of what we think of as American greatness,
yes.
right? As things that shaping what our perception of America is. This really strikes me kind of as that, as I'm already thinking about and seeing him getting excited about America's 250th birthday next year, because yeah. he's going to be in charge of planning that too.
Oh, right? I had not thought about that.
So, I mean, these are the kinds of, but you know, things like what happens at the Kennedy Center are part of how, part of the yeah. messaging of,
totally.
Of what America is about and who gets to be a part of that America. Also, I mean, while y'all are Googling Kennedy Center performances, Aretha Franklin. People.
Aretha Franklin. And you know, I don't think I'm wrong about this, that the Kennedy Center, in an effort to open itself up more to the greater community, actually did all of this outdoor programming. They did new parks outside. And I think there's even like a skateboarding place for kids. I mean, they've really tried to grow and iterate with the community and bring in people who are just like not old white crusty people, who I think would always have been seen, I guess, as the target demo, right, for the Kennedy Center.
Yeah.
But a couple years ago, they had Neo with the National Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, no. My first time going to the Kennedy Center was when Nas performed.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Epic. Like, that was one of the best concerts, I mean, ever. With full symphony. He's in a tuxedo. It was insane. Anyway, yes.
See, it's just, that's special. And you remember it. And so let's just hope that the old Kennedy Center can endure the next 4 years, because yikes.
Yeah, that was the golden age of American
arts
and culture.
That was the golden age, Donald Trump, not your whatever. I mean, who's he going to get to perform? It's going to be Lee Greenwood 5 nights a week.
Oh, goodness. I mean, no, seriously. I mean, like, because I mean, clearly, if you have challenges getting people to perform at your inauguration, who are you attracting
who
to
are
the
you,
Kennedy
if
Center?
You, exactly. And it's not that the Kennedy Center unto itself had problems ever attracting talent from all stripes of life,
yeah.
all walks of life. But when you actually go and make it political by making yourself the chairman, I'm just saying, feels like it could be hard.
Yeah.
Feels like it could be hard. All right. Well, in a segment that Aaron and I have decided to call In Lighter, Nicer News.
Y'all need it. We know. We've covered a lot here. We've covered a lot.
This is, how'd you feel about the Super Bowl?
Oh, wow. Am still processing the concert where there was also
all
a game.
Of it. Any of it.
Okay.
All the whole thing.
Yes, the Kendrick Lamar of it all, still very much processing that. Obviously, shout out to Jalen Hurts. Very jealous of all my Philly peeps that are going to get to spend their Valentine's Day
I know.
At a parade. That feels awesome. But no, I mean, Super Bowl was just, it was so chef's kiss on every level. Like, the Eagles were dominant. Kendrick Lamar was dominant. Like, it was, yeah, it was the 4 hours of feel good. The Pisces escapist in me definitely appreciated those 100%. 4 hours to just focus.
It was everything. It was the commercials. Oh. I love the commercials.
Okay, what was your favorite commercial?
Okay, so if I'm being a trite bitch, obviously Duncan. Okay, Jeremy Strong's making fun of himself as a method actor. 10 out of 10, no notes, yes. Chef's kiss. But how about all of the commercials that featured women?
You know what? It's funny that you say that, Alyssa, because literally was just looking at an Adweek article that said there were even more white men featured in Super Bowl commercials than there were last year. Something like 70% of
really?
The people that were in Super Bowl ads were white men this year. So, I mean, yes, there was definitely women's representation. Loved the Nike ad. Loved the Nike ad. That was so powerful. We'll be rewatching that for inspiration, like I watch Rocky clips. But also, I have to say, the one that is just kind of burned into my brain that I wish I could get rid of, that SEAL commercial was weird as hell.
Which one was that?
Mountain Dew.
Oh,
where he is a SEAL.
The one with the skin hat?
Oh, Tubi. Yes, that was
That
freaky.
Was a no.
That was freaky.
That was no. That came around a couple times.
I blocked that out. No. I blocked that out. But
also, shocking number of mayo commercials.
That's true.
Right? And I will say, I love Harry Met Sally, but
yes.
the Jason Alexander one was actually, I think, funnier. Though the funny conversation around that When Harry Met Sally mayo ad was that all of my Jewish friends were like, that's some anti-Semitic shit. You put mayo on a corned beef sandwich.
Whoops.
And then they were like, they came back, they're like, no, it was turkey. And they're like, yeah, you should still just have gotten corned beef with mustard. Why did you have to do that?
Wow. The inaccuracy. Also, Eugene Levy's eyebrows were freaky, and I will never unsee that as well.
They were freaky. But in general, I went to bed late on Sunday night. I enjoyed the game. My husband, we were so excited. It's nothing in our apartment building right now. Like, we walk downstairs, you don't say hi to people.
You just say go birds. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
It's like if you were in Hawaii, just say aloha when you see people. It's just go birds.
Yes.
We have more reasons to be happy. Okay, you ready?
Yes. What we got?
Martha's back.
Martha is back. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Okay, so Martha Stewart's debut best-selling cookbook, Entertaining, will be reissued in October after spending years out of print.
I love this. I love this so much. First of all, like, Martha's renaissance has been a thing to behold. Okay, like, ever since the Tom Brady roast, Martha's trajectory, like, she's all the way back. If y'all have not watched the documentary, do yourselves a favor and binge that thing ASAP.
It's amazing.
It is so, so, so good. And I mean, like, yes, like, Martha, reclaim everything that they tried to take away from you, okay? Like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, entertaining. Something I think people kind of got back into cooking in the pandemic, I guess.
Yeah.
And now that we're out of the pandemic and maybe entertaining again, having people over again. Like, yes, Martha Stewart is the trusty guide that we all need. Are we going to be as perfect as Martha Stewart? Probably not.
No, but probably, you know, the difference is, I think in 1982, when the book came out, I was just a six-year-old tiny baby cat.
Sure.
I think that if you were a woman maybe reading the book in 1982, you took that book as a threshold of perfection.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is what I have to do to be the perfect housewife, to be this, this, and this. And I love so much the book coming out now, and I hope it comes out, like, literally, they just reprint the same book. Mm-hmm. I want the same book. But now I think that because the world has changed so much, you can actually just take it and love it and be like, I can do what I do. I can't do some of this stuff.
Right.
You know, I can't do the level of perfection that Martha does. But maybe I am going to scoop out that pumpkin and turn it into a soup colander thing. You know what I mean? A soup tureen.
Exactly. If I aim for the moon and I'm amongst the stars, then it's cool. Like, I'm not going to make this perfectly, but like, it's better than whatever I would have made without Martha.
And I'd like to think too, the one thing I've gotten into as I've gotten older, because I cook enough. I'm a fine cook.
Sure.
I would say I'm a fine cook.
I can follow a recipe.
Right. But I like to read them like narratively. Like, I like to read a cookbook as I'm going to bed.
Oh my God, what if Martha was doing this as an audiobook as well? Martha, are you
Martha,
listening?
Could you
please?
Do you hear our call? Do you hear
this,
our call?
If you make this an audiobook, just make these recipes, just turn this shit into a podcast, and I will follow along as
I will too.
Because I'm listening while I'm making dinner anyway. So, like, just,
yeah.
I mean, can we, two birds with one stone, Martha? I'm just saying, if you're listening.
Hear our plea.
If you're listening, entertaining needs to enter. That is the way that you can 21st century this shit, is by just giving us an audiobook version of entertaining. Would also get. Also, if it is not the same, I will be, hitting the yard sales to find my original copy.
Obviously.
Yeah.
You know, she used to do some sort of estate sale every couple of years up in Bedford. So I'm just telling you, this is our pinky promise across Zoom.
Oh yeah.
Next time
Keep
we're going
me
together.
Posted.
We're going together.
Keep me posted. Okay. I will hit that. And also, I mean, let the Martha Stewart continue, people. We need all the Martha
Let her
Stewart
be. Listen,
that we can get right
she
now.
She was at the Super Bowl this weekend. Did you see she got asked?
And in multiple commercials.
Multiple. Oh, that's right. She was in multiple commercials.
I enjoyed it. Yes, more Martha Stewart.
They asked her, they said, Martha, what's your number one accessory for the Super Bowl? And she just always has it. She goes, sunglasses, yeah. Of course. All right. We'll be right back with Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Lumen. Did you know that when your metabolism is working properly, you'll feel the benefits in literally every aspect of your life? I found a valuable tool that gives me insights to create a healthy metabolism for my body, and it's called Lumen. Lumen is the world's first handheld metabolic coach. It's a device that measures your metabolism through your breath. And on the app, it lets you know if you're burning fat or carbs and gives you tailored guidance to improve your nutrition, workout, sleep, and even stress management. All you have to do is breathe into your Lumen first thing in the morning, and then you'll know what's going on with your metabolism, whether you're burning mostly fats or carbs. Then Lumen gives you a personalized nutrition plan for the day based on your measurements. You can also breathe into it before or after workouts and meals, so you know exactly what's going on in your body in real time, and Lumen will give you tips to keep you on top of your health game. Because your metabolism is at the center of everything your body does, optimal metabolic health translates to a bunch of benefits, including improved energy levels, better fitness results, and for me, most importantly, better sleep. My sleep is terrible, and since using Lumen, it has definitely improved. Lumen gives you recommendations to improve your metabolic health, and it can also track your cycle as well as the onset of menopause and adjust your recommendations to keep your metabolism healthy through hormonal shifts so you can keep up your energy and stave off cravings. Take the next step to improving your health. Go to lumen.me/hysteria to get 20% off your Lumen. That is lumen.me/hysteria for 20% off your purchase. Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code PODCAST15.
Welcome back to Hysteria, the podcast that really can't wait a second longer for White Lotus Season 3 to get here.
Erin,
have you read any of the reviews?
No. I don't want any, okay. I don't want any information. I don't want any spoilers. I just want to be back. I want to be back at the White Lotus experience.
Here's my question for you. It drops Sunday at 10 p.m.
Yes.
Are you watching it live or are you watching it Monday at an early
hour? No. I'm locked in.
God, I love that for you.
I'll be there. I mean, look. there's not that many opportunities for appointment TV anymore. So, like, yes.
I agree.
Like, let's do it. And also, I mean, the Youngs on the Slack channels at the 19th, they are on it, okay? So, like, they will be...
It'll get ruined for you
if you
don't watch
it. They're going to be talking about it on Monday if I am not caught up.
All right, before we get to Sani Petty, some announcements for the class. Okay, everyone, this week on Assembly Required, Stacey Abrams unpacks how the ultra-wealthy seized power and what it means for us. With Wired editor Leah Fager, they dig into crypto's unexpected grip on the Treasury. Then Strict Scrutiny's Kate Shaw helps make sense of the legal loopholes keeping it all in place. This episode is a must-listen for staying informed of the chaos happening in the White House and what you can do to cut through disinformation and fight back. Tune into Assembly Required wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. And if you're looking for more essential conversations, tune into Pod Save the People, where organizer and activist Deray McKesson, along with Kaya Henderson and Miles Johnson, bring a sharp take on news, culture, and social justice, focusing on the stories that too often go overlooked. This week, they dive into how an AI program wrongfully jailed an innocent man for 17 months and what that means for the future of justice. Listen to Pod Save the People every Tuesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Now, let's get into Sani Petty. Erin? I'm going to let you go first. Are you Sani or are you Petty?
Oh, I am very Petty. We are going to circle back around to something that we've discussed here on this pod.
Okay.
And that is this terrible Bridget Jones movie that is coming out. That drops
this week.
Yeah, I think it drops Friday. Am I going to hate watch it? I'm still on the fence. Pretty furious about the storyline here, people. I don't want to ruin it for those of you who may be tuning in. But I love Bridget Jones. I was a Bridget Jones fan, and it just
totally
seems like they're about to ruin this for me. So I am petty in advance.
Okay.
Because my expectations for this movie, not great.
But we're not spoiling it for anybody because everybody—
They spoiled it?
They spoil it.
Oh, okay.
We can spoil it.
Perfect.
We're not being assholes. So what about it, Erin, do you find so objectionable?
I mean, here was poor Bridget. She's looking for love for so long.
And finds love.
Finally gets love.
Ditches the bad boy.
Gets rid of him. Finds love with Hugh Grant. And what happens in this version of Bridget Jones? They kill him off.
I can't believe it.
They kill him off big style in Sex and the City, which we also didn't need, by the way, because Lord knows she waited long enough.
That's the truth.
I mean, what are we doing? What are we doing?
What are we doing? Are we telling women that if they find love later in life, it will be for a shorter period of time? Like, what on earth?
I mean, it seems like, I don't know, maybe it's just one big, you know, Peloton and Kale ad for the menfolk. I don't know.
Did I ever tell you my Colin Firth story?
No.
Okay. This is embarrassing, but it's low key humble brag. But it's a funny story.
There's always a humble brag flex.
You got
from
it.
You.
Sometimes. Oh, what does that mean?
From
oh,
you.
I'm not telling the story then.
Too
I
late.
Can't.
Nope. I'm being petty. You have to tell it now.
All right. So once we were celebrating the Queen's Jubilee over in London.
This is already a flex. This is already a fucking flex.
Already.
Keep going.
But here's where it goes. So the gang's all there. David Beckham, Nigella Lawson, the American delegation. Unfortunately, Alyssa gets the flu. This is pre-COVID. So getting the flu and going on with your day was a thing that you did back then. I got the flu. It was bad. And I'm like, I can't miss it. No. I was in charge of this whole event and we're in London. And so I just take so much cold medicine. And then as we're getting ready to leave to go over to the Winfield House, made famous by The Diplomat.
Absolutely. I knew. See how I knew that reference? Because of The Diplomat representation matter.
It is a reasonable replica. Mm. Okay. And so everyone, the King's Speech had just come out, and everyone's telling Colin Firth. They're like, oh, love the King's Speech, love the King's Speech. But I am both high on medication and a little drunk on champagne.
Mm. Perfect combo.
And they said, Alyssa, what's your favorite? And I was just honest. I said, well, I love Bridget Jones, but my favorite is Love Actually. I even have an impression.
Wow.
And I pretended to be the children in Love Actually, when he goes to bring them their presents. And his wife at the time was like, do the impression. And Valerie Jarrett's like, do the impression. David Beckham's over the corner. I'm like, oh my God. I was so high, I thought he thought I was hot. And
sure.
I stand there and I go, We hate Uncle Jamie. We love Uncle Jamie. Okay. No one thought it was funny. Except me. I was like, this is funny. This is not funny. And then I realized people were in fact laughing. He was stone-faced. Everyone was laughing, but girl, they were laughing at me, not with
they
me.
They were laughing at you.
They were laughing at me. But whenever I think of Bridget Jones or Colin Firth, it takes me back to that special night where I embarrassed myself in a room near the Queen.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. All right, I'm feeling Sanny and petty.
Okay, what you got?
It's like not petty. Maybe I'm just feeling weird. So I'm watching TikTok, you know, on Sunday.
As one
does. Getting ready for the game. And I come across the University of Minnesota dance team doing their routine to This Woman's Work by Kate Bush. Okay.
Those two things don't go together.
It was the national dance championship, yes. Right? This is it. It's huge. And I start watching this and I was like, do these tiny baby cats know the movie? Like, do they know the movie She's Having a Baby? That this, like, things are different now. Like, there aren't as many, like, theme songs to movies as there used to be. Remember, like, when we were growing up, everything had, like, a theme song.
Yes.
And you'd go by the single and you'd, like, listen to it to death. Well, the song from She's Having a Baby with Kevin Bacon and Elizabeth McGovern was This Woman's Work, which is played while Elizabeth McGovern is almost dying in childbirth. And so I'm thinking to myself, these kids couldn't have watched the movie.
Right.
They couldn't have watched the movie. And then, Aaron, they get to the end of the dance. They saw the movie.
Oh, no.
It was exceptionally done. I was riveted. They were getting huge cheers. I was just like, I guess I just thought to myself, is this like what the world has come to? That it is this song that that got them so motivated and wanted to do it? Like they were exceptional. But I've watched it so many times. I'm like looking for clues. And so I've been watching it on my phone. I'm like, they didn't see it. Then I looked at it on my computer and I realized that only one of the dancers is a male. And so it is the Kevin Bacon. It is like the last 30, 45 seconds of the thing are the end of the movie. And I just say 10 out of 10 for creativity, 10 out of 10 for emotional cutting for those of us in Gen X that remember watching that movie when we were probably like,
you probably shouldn't have been 12. Watching that movie. Let's be honest.
I probably should.
Having a baby, Dirty Dancing, also not appropriate for our age range, right?
No.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. I was watching the Puppy Bowl, so I was. That was my Sanny moment of my pre-gaming.
That was nice.
Yes.
That was nice. That was probably. I watched a little bit of Beth Stern's Kitten Bowl. All right, Aaron. That's all for today.
Oh, time flies.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Aaron Haynes, for coming on for the last 2 weeks. I hope to have you back in the spring.
You know, I hope to be back in the spring.
What do you think about that? A little bit. We can regroup on how Pisces season went down for us.
Well, I must return for Pisces season. We got to do it.
Oh, that's so true. Okay, anyway. So then it is settled. We will see you in a few weeks.
Yay.
And listeners, we'll be back next week with an all-new episode. Have a great week.
Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.